Love Sport Radio. On digital radio, online, mobile, and smart speaker. This is Upfront on Love Sport.
This is the James Gray Show podcast edition. Please do leave us a rating or a review wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, you can tune into the show every weekday from 1 p.m. until 3:30 p.m. on Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport.
These managers saying their teams can't relax, they can't be complacent. They scarcely need any more evidence about complacency than the two Champions League games this week. What sort of player is going to go out tonight and think, yeah, well, we're 3-0 up. Shouldn't be a problem, should it? I think it absolutely should be a problem because, honestly, just unbelievable nights of football. I somehow found last night even more dramatic for the sheer timing of it. You know, when Lucas Moura knocked in that third goal, it really was the very last second of the game. It didn't turn out to be that, but it was as the clock ticked to 95-0-0, the 5 allotted minutes of stoppage time appeared to be up. And as that last bell sounded, he knocked the ball past Onana. I don't think it could have been any more dramatic. It of course, was massively imbued by the fact that Tottenham, not satisfied with just having to come back from 1-0 down, decided that they would try and come back from 3-0 down as well. I don't really think I have the words to describe it. Jermaine Gina certainly didn't. He was absolutely speechless on commentary. I'm sure there were many people doing what I was doing in the pub with one of my best mates who's a Tottenham fan. He was losing it, as you might expect, going absolutely wild. I was just laughing. It's all I could do was laugh at the absolute absurdity of the game. For the second night in a row, we found ourselves just laughing at a crazy, crazy night of football. It's time to assess exactly how Tottenham performed under their very difficult evening, but in the end, a victorious one. It's worth remembering that Spurs were awful in the first half, like legitimately very poor. So in goal, you had Hugo Lloris, who could do nothing about the two goals, could he? Like, there was nothing he could do about the goals. He made a couple of decent saves, but actually his distribution was quite poor. I thought he lacked the accuracy that Spurs needed. They needed a cool head in all areas of the pitch, but especially at the back. I didn't think Lloris was that. I thought he struggled a bit. I've given him a 6, and I think that's the best I could give him in the end. Kieran Trippier, of course, has had a difficult season. We know he's had a difficult season. Tottenham fans all over the place. Every single Tottenham fan I've just about spoken to this year has said that they've been really annoyed with how Kieran Trippier has played and how really disappointed after such a big summer. He made mistakes for both goals last night, I'm afraid. I've given him a 5 because he did get a little bit better in the second half, started to get forward a bit more and played a couple of nice balls across, but he was very Erison, frankly, in defence. Toby Alderweireld, a 6, just like Jan Vertonghen. Vertonghen should have scored, by the way. Should have saved us all about 8 minutes of blood pressure by scoring in the 87th minute. He wasn't the calming influence Spurs needed, and neither, I thought, was Alderweireld. Made a few good blocks in the second half, but I've given both the centre-backs 6s because I couldn't really give them much more. Danny Rose was the standout player in Tottenham's back line. I've given him a 7. I think he absolutely deserves that. Genuine attacking threat. And he produced a beautiful nutmeg in the build-up to that first goal. Just so calm under pressure. You know, the adjective Spursy, which we can potentially dispense with now that they've made it to the Champions League final and come through that game, it was so the opposite of that when he just casually skinned someone, you know, deep inside his own half, and it set up that goal. Let's move on to the midfield. Victor Wanyama, a 3 for me, because I thought it was absolutely awful. For the second time in a week, he was dreadful in the first leg and he was dreadful in the second leg as well. He looked like he was playing a different game. He really did. He was awful. He just at 65% of the pace of the game, as though he just didn't understand how the game was being played. It was dreadful. Tottenham fans must have been really, really annoyed with how he performed last night. Christian Eriksen wasn't a whole lot better. I've given him a 5 on his return to the Amsterdam Arena. Sorry, the Johan Cruyff Arena, as it now is. Just struggled to impose himself on the game. Got a bit better second half, as they all did, when he dropped a bit deeper and was allowed to maybe control the game a bit more. But it was a night when they needed him to be more than he was, frankly. Moussa Sissoko came off the bench, of course, in midfield. I thought he did all right. I've given him a 6 because I thought he could have had more of an influence, but he did a decent job. He started, of course, sorry. I've written him down as a substitute. I've absolutely no idea why. I'm so used to seeing him come off the bench these days. Dele Alli, one of his best games of the season. I've given him an 8. It's not a terribly high bar to say it's one of his best games of the season. He went to find space where he could and provided, I think, a troubling influence. You know, he sought out little bits of the Ajax defence that he knew he could trouble. Heung-min Son, a 7 for me. He hit the woodwork. He was quite direct. He never gave up. Of course, there was that uncharacteristic red card down at Bournemouth, and this was a return to what we've come to know him as in terms of a hard-working and very talented forward. He wasn't perfect. I thought he shot a bit too much, actually, weirdly. And speaking of shooting, Lucas Moura, I have to give him a 10. Of course I have to give him a 10. It was a brilliant hat-trick, all with his left foot, by the way. He is, of course, right-footed, so all with his weaker foot. And, you know, that footwork for the finish, the second goal, fabulous. Just a little lane change under pressure and find the back of the net. Really brilliant. Also, credit to Fernando Llorente. Came off the bench, changed the game. Not necessarily in a way that you normally associate with people, but just by being Fernando Llorente. He's tall, he's strong, he's good in the air, and he provided, once again, a half-decent target man. Did some bad things. I remember him shooting from 25 yards on his weaker foot, which was particularly ill-advised, but did some good things as well and provided a focal point for the Tottenham attack. So, overall, I've not really been very generous. Only Lucas Moura and Dele Alli earning more than a 7. But that's the brilliance of football. Tottenham weren't very good last night, but what a result they produced.
Love Sport.
It was that sort of evening. Just overflowing emotion on all parts. There's that shot after Moura scores his third, and there's just three Ajax players lying flat on their faces, just screaming into the turf. You can't really blame them. They've been on such a brilliant journey, such a great group of young players, and they've fallen at the very last when they thought it had all gone. But on Tottenham's side, of course, absolute jubilation. A fantastic night that will go down in the history of the club, I'm sure. Let's speak to a man who knows Tottenham better than most. Dean Austin's on the line now, former Spurs defender, a man who made more than 100 appearances for the club. Dean, you must be on cloud 9 today. Have you quite believed that it happened?
Not really. especially at half time. But listen, I think that it's a special group of players. They've shown that over a period of a couple of years. And, you know, just obviously, I think that seeing Liverpool do what they did gave them a little bit of inspiration to make you realise that anything's possible, really, if you have the amount of commitment and desire that this group of players have.
What do you put that belief and commitment down to? Is it down to someone like Mauricio Pochettino, or is it, I understand Harry Kane was in there at half-time giving the team talk?
Yeah, I think that, there are some special managers out there at the moment, and most of them, and I think the best ones, some of the best ones are in the Premier League, and I think that Mauricio has shown himself to be at the very top level of his field, and do not underestimate this group of players that he's put together. It's his team. So he knows the players, he knew the characters that he's brought, and the way that they work on a daily basis, and he knows his team, and I think it was someone saying last night that Trippier said that the manager doesn't mind us getting beat, but it's how we get beat. And obviously seeing how they played last night, not that it was horrific in the first half, but obviously the goals come at bad times, and all of a sudden you think that Spurs still had some chances in the first half and Son hit the post and what have you, but you obviously get a feeling that it's not gonna be your night. But sometimes you need the rub of the green to give you a little bit of a spark, and obviously when Moura scored, that gave him a spark. But then to score the second one, I'm a great believer when you're watching these games and you see chances missed, and Ajax had a couple of chances. They hit the post, and then Hugo made an unbelievable save not long, and you're just thinking Spurs are going to get, they're going to get another chance. They're going to get one more chance, and it's about, you know, that level. You can get one chance, and you've got to be able to take it. And you know, I'm just so pleased for everybody at the club, because you know it's a special achievement.
It's obviously a massive achievement for the club. You know, they're in a semi-final back against Benfica about 50 years ago, but I'm not sure anyone really remembers it. Tell me about the club as a whole, because obviously you spent 5 or 6 years there in the 90s. What makes Tottenham different from other places, and the relationship with the fans? And I know it's the new stadium now, but the old stadium anyway.
I mean, I'm biased anyway, because I grew up a Spurs fan, so... Yeah. You know, I watched my first game at Tottenham. I was 12 years old. I sat on the front row of the East Stand above the old shelf.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, for me, at 21 years old, 22 years old, to get the opportunity to sign for the club that I grew up supporting was everything to me. Obviously, probably the saddest day ever in my life was the day that I had to leave Spurs, and it was the right time for me to leave Spurs. I had a horrific time with injuries and a challenge needed, and younger, better players were coming through, and you know my time was up. But I would never, to be honest with you, I could have stayed at Spurs my whole career, because it's my club. It was never about money. I wouldn't have left the club just to go somewhere for more money, which is obviously, but. You know, there's not many players like that now. It's not that type of place. It's just, it's not that type of game anymore. But for me, it's different, obviously, because I support the club. But it's a man and boy, and I live the dream. But it was just, like, even now, I go back now, and like I've been to games this year at Wembley. I was at the Barcelona game at Wembley, and, you know, just... going there, and especially the Champions League, when you hear that music go, it just makes the hairs on the back of your neck go. I said something to someone the other week, and I said, listen, I had all these injuries in this period of time at Spurs, but you know what, I'd go through it all again just to be able to have the opportunity to step out on the field.
Yeah.
Because there's no feeling like it. And I do think, you know, if you look at certain people like Gerrard, probably at Liverpool, you know, it makes it a little bit more special when you do things at a club that you love, because it's not the game now, it's not the way it is. But to be able to have that connection where you know what it means to people, I do think it makes a difference.
You think, like, Pochettino's talked about that as well, and he knows about it with Espanyol, and you know, he's creating that connection with Tottenham. Do you think Harry Kane will buck that trend? Do you think if he, and we know he's one of the most like sought after strikers in Europe, do you think he is the kind of guy who will look at it and go, actually, you know, this is a club I've been at for 15 years, it's special to me, and he might just be able to turn down the likes of Real Madrid?
I think that, you know, Harry is one of the top strikers in the world.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, you can't take anything away from it. He's on a different level. You know, he's up there. I think he'll stay for a good 2 or 3 more years. Me personally, I think if Spurs can get to a situation that this is not a one-off and they are competing at the top level, at the top end of the table, and Champions League every year, then I believe that he will. I think we're at a stage now where there's not really I mean, there's dominant forces, but there's many dominant forces. I mean, if you look at the Premier League now, you've got six teams
all challenging.
Yeah, and then, but you say, well, if he was to leave Tottenham, where would he go? You know, Real Madrid this year, you know, basically they're third in La Liga. They went out of the Champions League to you know, Barca. They've won the league, but they've lost to Liverpool in the semi-finals. If Spurs, you know, and there are some world-class teams around. There are some big, big teams now around, and they're all in there. And I think Spurs is one of them. So why would he want to swap? If Spurs can continue, and there's no reason to think that Spurs can't continue, that this isn't something. If Spurs are going to be competing at this level, then, and Spurs is his club and he's happy, then why would he want to leave?
Yeah. Dean, thank you so much. I hope Harry Kane's playing in English football for a lot longer. We'll have to see. That's Dean Austin there, former Tottenham defender and a Tottenham fan through and through as well. A man who I'm sure will be on cloud nine for quite a couple of months after last night's absolutely outrageous result.
This is Love Sport.
There must be something in the water. That's the only thing I can assume about Tottenham. There must be something in the water that just keeps them going, because they keep finding a way. And I wonder whether, to an extent, it's about the coach himself. And about, you know, Gary Neville said he was programmed at Manchester United to just keep running. They knew no other way of doing it. So when they got into those situations, like at the end of the 99 Champions League final, they just did it. They just kept running. And Tottenham looked like that last night. There was never really panic. It wasn't as though they were scrapping or scrambling to try and, you know, produce the result. They were just working hard. And I thought that was what was really impressive about them in those latter stages. Speaking of people who are working hard at the Tottenham game last night, Jerry Cox is on the line from Haters Sport. He was, of course, at the game and working and having to file. Well, was it on the whistle you were required to file, Jerry? Because I imagine that was a little bit challenging.
It certainly was challenging, James. Yeah, I had 850 words to write. And obviously, you try and break the back of it well before the end of the game. Just leave yourself a bit of wriggle room in case it's a surprise ending. Having been at the Man City Spurs, the second leg of the quarter final, where obviously everything changed on the whistle, and I'd actually changed my scoreline to 5-3 and put Raheem Sterling hat-trick, and suddenly someone tapped me on the shoulder. And I was just about to send my report then, and someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hang on, this isn't over." And the VAR and the goal was disallowed. So that was chaotic. I didn't think I'd go through that again, but then last night was absolutely the same. You know, 5 minutes. And where we were, up high up in the stands, we didn't have monitors on the press benches, as you often get now in England, but you could just about see one or two of the TV commentators' monitors. And it said 5 minutes of added time, and I could see that the 5 minutes was just about up. But in the corner of my eye, I just saw the ball going, being lumped forward. I thought, oh, well, you know, it's probably the whistle to go now. And then the ball goes in the net. It's just absolute pandemonium. You're trying to sort of take it all in, confirm that now, especially with VAR, that the goal is going to stand, and then think, oh my word, I've now got to rewrite a big chunk of what I was about to say. So, yeah, quite remarkable. Not very good for your sort of heartbeat and your heart rate, but I wouldn't have it any other way, really.
No. Alex Ferguson says something about football that I probably can't broadcast at 10 to 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty much sums it up. I'm not surprised you used it.
The intro. That was the intro for my report.
What else are you supposed to say? I'm literally sitting here today just going, oh, well, football. It was bad enough because I'm a Liverpool fan as well. It's been an absolute roller coaster this week. The Vincent Kompany goal, the Liverpool comeback, and then my best mate's a Spurs fan, so I was watching it in the pub last night. Tell us a bit about the atmosphere. Tottenham fans actually sounded like they were pretty loud throughout, but after that first half, they must have taken a bit of a blow.
Well, it was strange because, I was out there the day before doing the press conferences and training sessions. Lot of Spurs fans in Amsterdam. Some reports, you know, up to 10,000 or so. And clearly only 2,500 were going to get tickets. So a lot were just there for the atmosphere around the place, you know, with very little hope of getting in. And, you know, I'd stress it was all good natured. There was very little sign of anything, any problems with them. But they were in boisterous mood, singing, you know, that song about the Frankie Valli song, What a Night. Watching Tottenham on a Wednesday, I won't finish it, but a little dig at Arsenal and Chelsea in the Europa League. And then, you know, come the game, the atmosphere in the stadium was absolutely fantastic, you know, and the Ajax supporters were, you know, from start to finish, and even really, even after the killer goal, they were still making a noise, you know, cheering their team off because they've seen what their young team had done. And it was a very small band of Spurs fans way up in the far sort of corner from where we were. So you were sort of, you know, they were mostly being outsung throughout the game. There were quiet moments where you get the Spurs songs wafted across. But obviously, when the final goal went in, it was just absolute chaos. And the players over there, the coaching staff, you saw Pochettino, you know, at the end of the game as well. They went back out to see them. So it was, there were a lot of very happy Spurs fans in Amsterdam last week. Yeah.
I was particularly sort of refreshed, actually, as someone who's been to a lot of mixed zones and seen a lot of players just walk past, to see a lot of Tottenham players last night doing media for a reasonable amount of time, actually. Did you feel that this team appreciated it was a special night and they just wanted to revel in it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've covered Spurs a long time and, you know, they're pretty good. They're not, they'll always be two or three of the senior players who will front up, win, lose or draw. And, you know, God knows they've had a few of those over the years. And, you know, Hugo Lloris will always, even after a devastating defeat, will always come out and talk. And Harry Kane's a good one when he's playing. You know, it's usually in the mix zone, as you know, it's usually only the players who've been involved in the match that you actually even try to approach. But you'll get some teams where the players will, you know, frankly, even after a 3 or 4 nil win, just walk past pretending their phone is on or whatever, you know. I know someone got called out once. One England international was famously called out as he walked past with his phone on, pretending he was on the line. And then it started ringing. And he was caught red-handed there. But no, last night, Spurs boys were obviously completely happy with it and happy to talk at length, you know, and they spent plenty of time. And obviously, the reverse is that the Ajax players were absolutely devastated. You know, Dusan Tadic came through, but he just looked like he'd been, well, he was almost in shock.
Yeah.
You know, they really didn't want to be doing something. And the poor press officer from Ajax was having to sort of shepherd one or two players over for the club media just to do that, fulfill that obligation. But they really didn't want to be saying too much because you could only try and, you know, imagine how devastating this must have been at home on this magical story, you know, three qualifying rounds, a young team. They'd beaten Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Juventus. They were 3-0 up in the tie, you know, and seconds away. And it must have been an absolutely devastating blow for them. So clearly they weren't in the mood.
Yeah.
And the Spurs boys were, you know, as I say, very, very happy to talk. And it was, you know, interesting chatting to them, just getting the sort of sense of why they came back. You know, I spoke to Hugo Lloris, as I often do after a game, and I said, you know, you were out of this competition maybe four times at some stage, you know, the late goals at different stages. And I said, you know, is it now in Tottenham's DNA to believe that you can always come back? And he said, no. He said, I don't think it's Tottenham's. I think it's the English DNA. He said, I'm a Frenchman. But he said, we take inspiration from what English teams do. And he quoted United in 99, the famous Bayern Munich Champions League team. Liverpool, you know, the miracle in Istanbul. He said Liverpool last night, you know, on Tuesday. He said, we watched Liverpool and that inspired us, you know. So it was quite interesting that, you know, it's not a Spurs thing. It certainly didn't used to be a Spurs thing to sort of stay to the end and show sort of resilience like that. But, you know, those are the sort of insights you get from being up close to the players, and it's you know, it's a fascinating to see how they've come together over the last few years. You know, it's a group that's really bonded and very, very tight knit unit. You know, and you can see it in the. I mean, it's great when you see the dressing room videos, all the Instagram stuff, and the emotion. You know, the Pochettino, you know, absolutely couldn't hold it in. I mean, he's pretty even tempered at the best of times. You know, but it all came out last night.
Yeah.
So And it was good to see, you know.
It was relief, I think, more than anything else, you know, after that dreadful first half and everything that Spurs have been through. Just amazing. Jerry, I've got to leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on, though. Real pleasure to speak to someone who was there and has seen it all. Jerry Cox from Haters Sport, who was at the Johan Cruyff Arena last night and got to see Tottenham's remarkable comeback up close and personal.
This is Love Sport.
Tottenham, of course, were winners last night. And at no point during the game did I expect to be saying that, because they were dead and buried. They were awful first half as well. Really, really poor, only for Lucas Moura to rescue them. This is the thing, though. This week, the extraordinary has become the norm. The outrageous is every day. The ridiculous has become run-of-the-mill. It's already a tricky task for Spurs last night, heading to the most fashionable team in Europe, wanting to overcome a 1-0 deficit. Tricky, definitely tricky stuff. But having watched Liverpool the night before, and not content with coming back from one down, they decided to go three down by failing to turn up for the first 45 minutes. Pretty remarkable, really. But there must have been one or two things you missed, so it's time for us to fill you in on them. Arsene, what was your favourite bit of the game last night?
I didn't see it.
But you must have seen some funny moments in the game.
I didn't see it.
All right, what about that new Zac Efron film?
I didn't see it.
Well, at least I was watching, Arsene. Have you seen the new Zac Efron film, by the way? I walked in on my flatmate watching it. I didn't walk in on it, not like that. Just she was watching it, and I watched the last hour. Last hour's quite good, but I didn't know any of the context for it. So I was really confused. Who's that? No, but what's he done? Sorry, I'll move on, shall I? The first thing you might have missed last night was the second goal. The second Tottenham goal, that is. Because, just like my friends, all sitting around a table in the pub, I had looked away. Onana had made the save from Fernando Llorente and had gobbled the ball up. And I just looked down, oh, what a save that was. How have they not? And then all of a sudden, Lucas Moura has put it in the net. Honestly, terrible mix-up between defender and goalkeeper. So if you're like me and you're a bit quick to turn away, you probably missed that second goal that Lucas Moura scored.
I didn't see it.
Mauricio Pochettino lost it last night, which I think is fair. I don't think anyone will begrudge him having a little bit of a slip of composure. We all lost the plot, even if you weren't a Tottenham fan, frankly. If you weren't a football fan last night, if you didn't just lose your mind in the last minute of that game. Even if it was a mere open-mouthed sort of wonderment at the drama of football. Mauricio Pochettino, though, nearly lost his watch. Don't know if you saw that. He ran onto the pitch after the full-time whistle and then sunk to his knees, sobbing. Just sobbing with joy, and his very expensive, I would assume, watch had become unbuckled and very nearly fell off his hand, albeit he did just about rescue it and spent about the next 10 minutes desperately trying to do it up again. I don't think he ever succeeded.
I didn't see it.
Now, you will have seen Harry Kane last night because the camera flashed to him every time Tottenham missed a chance. He was also notably in the dressing room at half-time, giving the team talk, we understand. And then at full-time, he was sprinting onto the pitch. I think his ankle looks all right, don't you? But behind him, you'll have seen Davinson Sanchez, not for the first time this season, getting outrun by a striker. In fairness, he was injured and he was limping, but you get what I mean.
I didn't see it.
Now, if you were listening to commentary, you know that I always like to have a little dig at commentators, or sometimes a complimentary, but it's not complimentary. Jermaine Genus, who I know for a fact is a massive Tottenham fan, was on co-coms last night, and I think that's pretty harsh. And you will have heard when that third goal went in, Darren Fletcher shouting, and Jermaine Genus just whimpering into the microphone, just trying to get a word out, but he couldn't. He was just... Honestly, I don't blame him, but you know, you are on co-coms, Jermaine. Try and keep it together.
I didn't see it.
This was perhaps one of my favourite little moments. You always know I like, if anyone, your regular listeners know, I like little moments to pick out. And this particular little moment was just before Tottenham scored that goal that sent Jermaine Genus into the shadow realm. Tottenham won the ball back in midfield. Son got it. And you're thinking, right, get forward, Son. He had his back to goal on the halfway line. Turn, go, get forward. He takes a touch. He takes another touch. What are you doing? He was securing possession. He passed backwards. Son Heung-min passed backwards in the fifth minute of stoppage time of the Champions League semi-final. Laid it off perfectly to Moussa Sissoko. Played a targeted long ball forward. And the rest, as they say, is history.
I didn't see it.
And finally, it wouldn't be a Champions League night. It wouldn't be a dramatic late goal if you didn't have a director pressing the wrong button in a truck somewhere. You saw the Tottenham players flood towards Lucas Moura celebrating, the Ajax defenders hitting the turf face down, and then ex-referee Peter Walton sitting in a small room smiling. It was a very strange moment when BT Sport decided to cut to their refereeing expert in his analytical truck, grinning at the absurdity of a late result. It only lasted a couple of seconds, but it was a very unwelcome presence in my night.
I didn't see it.
Love Sport.
The glory may have been to the Tottenham Hotspurs last night, but they were not the people. Not everyone was happy about it, amazingly, because in front of me are two miserable-looking Love Sport members of staff, Mike, our tamed Arsenal fan, and Ben, our rabid Chelsea fan, who aren't particularly pleased about a Tottenham versus Liverpool Champions League final. Mike, it's obvious because you're an Arsenal fan and Spurs are the team of the moment. Ben, less so. Who wants to start?
Well, I'll go ahead. You say about, yeah, I get Mikey, obviously Arsenal fan and that, but Chelsea as well, they've had this sort of newfound rivalry with Spurs and Liverpool as well. You remember the Champions League, obviously, James, you'll remember the Champions League clashes over the years gone by.
Yeah, that great goal that went mostly over
the goal
the
that
line.
didn't even go over the line.
Went loads over the line.
And it's stuff like that. Since then, there's been a massive rivalry between Chelsea and Liverpool. There's been, you know, the Battle of the Bridge that went on for, during Tottenham's supposedly title-winning season.
So what?
It's just sort of your two rivals, your biggest rivals as a club, are now in a Champions League final.
Are you jealous? Is that basically the problem?
It is jealousy, but it is just what I'd feel like a Man United supporter.
You are from South London, so that kind of fits in.
It's either choosing City or Liverpool, whether you want to win the league. It's me choosing. Do you want Liverpool or Spurs to win it? It's an awful place to be.
Sort of like choosing which one of your parents you have to shoot.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. Mike, you're obviously always miserable because you're an Arsenal fan. Isn't it just highlighting how rubbish you are?
I mean, yes.
That's basically what's going on here.
Ultimately, it's just, you know, if Spurs do manage to win a title for the first time in 11 years, and it is the Champions League, which trumps obviously what no Arsenal manager has been able to achieve, it will be devastating. And I've got to say, I am considering going to Liverpool and becoming a Liverpool fan for a day.
I've got lots of shirts I can lend you.
I will be hugging various Scousers when Mo Salah scores the winner. But you know what? I can actually see, as much as it pains me, I can see Spurs winning that.
Really?
I just think Klopp's record in finals is not great. I can see them going there and just locking a goal. I can see Harry Kane dribbling in both ways all the way down
Shut
the pitch.
Shut your mouth, Harry.
And yeah,
Ben,
yeah,
you can't
it's
see
painful.
It.
I'm just shaking my head in disbelief. I can't believe we've ended up in this situation. You look at, yeah. Spurs in the group. Karma's come to bit me on the backside because I laughed at Spurs yesterday. I laughed at Liverpool being down. And, you know, never laugh before that. Well, the fat lady sings. And Spurs were in that
True.
Awful run of the group stage where they had 1 point. They had, who was in their group, Barcelona and PSV, Eindhoven, I think it was. And they were ahead. And I was thinking, there's no way they're getting through this. They got through the group stages. And it is sort of reminiscent of Chelsea's run. They shouldn't have got through the group stage. They shouldn't have beat Napoli. They shouldn't have beat Barcelona. And Spurs have kept doing it. Gary Neville's famous line, it's written in the stars. And just signed yesterday, Ajax hitting the post. Spurs keep going on. The VAR decision, they wouldn't be through if it wasn't for VAR coming in this season. It's just written there for Spurs to win it.
You reckon their names on the trophy? I mean, look, they've only beaten Liverpool once since 2012. They've not got a good record against Liverpool. So I don't really see, you know, and they've had some heavy defeats. There's a 5-0 at White Hart Lane. There's a 4-0 at Anfield as well.
Form goes out the window in cup finals. It always does. It's about who turns up on the day.
Do you think some of them, James, do you think some of them Liverpool fans will still be bearing the scars from last year's Champions League final?
I don't remember it.
I think they will, because they've been there and they've lost. Spurs, it's sort of like a new experience to them. And it tells a lot during a game last night that Spurs were actually the team with more experience, because they're up against kids. So
I don't think this is the same Liverpool team as that one. I think this is
true.
I think they've just got so much more positive energy as a squad, so much more strength as a squad. Because when they got to that Champions League final, it was a bit of a freak. Like, remember the run, you know, all the ridiculous games where they conceded all those goals against Roma, for example. It was kind of a freak run where, you know, if you're ice skating and you start to lose control, right? And you start going quicker, but you're sort of always on the edge. That's what it was like last year. This is more like a controlled Super G downhill. Liverpool are moving quickly, but they're completely in control. They've got both skis, both poles. They've got a nice new helmet on. And I don't think they're going to fall at the last. I just think it feels like a more controlled journey to the end.
I mean, obviously, the reason, Ben, that we're here looking glum today is that we have the chance to almost make it right and claw back a bit of respect when we play our respective Europa League games tonight.
Oh, yeah.
You're 1-1 against Frankfurt.
A bit of respect.
We're 3-1 against Valencia.
How times have changed. And I can't believe we've ended up here. I'm looking forward to playing a semi-final in Europa League, looking to get to Baku for a Europa League final against Arsenal. It probably was long ago now that Chelsea were fighting to be in Champions Leagues. That's where I'm going
to be. But you never got to a Champions League final in the same way that Liverpool have got to Champions League finals. If you look at that run, it was the Mourinho style of football. It was attritional cup football. Liverpool dominated their way to this Champions League final. They've absolutely crushed. They beat Barcelona 4-0 at home. That Chelsea team could have played Barcelona 100 times and they wouldn't have beaten them 4-0. It was never going to happen. As for your lot, you're 3-1 up, and that's one of the most dangerous scorelines in football this
James,
week.
James, I'm just letting you know that if somehow when we collapse tonight, I will not be here tomorrow. So the James Gray show will be self-produced by the man himself.
It'll just be me. Well, honestly, being ahead, I mean, you were saying, Ben, you texted me this morning and said, I really hope that they go 3-0 up tonight.
Yeah, I just don't know what to expect from football matches anymore. It's crazy. Like a bus, nothing comes in ages and then two come at once.
Yeah.
They're absolutely phenomenal comebacks and they're back-to-back greatest ever Champions League comebacks.
Can we just talk about the fact that Vincent Kompany scored an absolute world-class goal to possibly win City the league on Monday?
Everyone's forgotten about it.
Completely forgotten. Also, remember when United beat PSG?
Yeah.
Like so irrelevant.
No one.
Not even the best comeback this season. Just completely unbelievable. Football's lost its mind. Like, football's just got like ADHD and it just has to keep consuming really sugary snacks, otherwise it'll just run out of energy. Yeah. It's going completely insane. Right, tonight you're both playing in the Europa League. But I'll start with you, Ben, because I think might actually end it all. Ben, are you going through? 1-1, got an away goal. Eintracht Frankfurt lost 6-1 at the weekend.
That's it. If they didn't lose 6-1, I probably wouldn't be sitting here as confident. I reckon Chelsea will go through. It'll be scrappy like it always has been in Europa League this season. I reckon they'll just nick it on the night. They'll win by the odd goal.
Mike, the Arsenal fan, 3-1 up going to Valencia with one of the worst away records. But you did beat Napoli. One of only two teams to beat Napoli.
Yeah, but Napoli, did you see Napoli? Shocking.
Yeah, they were bad, I admit.
Shocking.
It's an absolute anomaly of
result. I mean, I can see Valencia turning up tonight. It's at the Mestalla, raucous atmosphere. But we did say that about Napoli as well. Mm. So I can see us conceding 2 or 3, but also score. I think we'll be reliant again on Aubameyang and Lacazette. I can see maybe a 2-2 and just scraping through by the skin of our teeth.
I'm kind of hoping for 3-1 and penalties.
Yeah, you never know.
No, thanks.
You could go there.
No,
shootout in a while, have we? I just want to ask Mike really quickly. Obviously, it's bad for me if Spurs win the Champions League. It would be awful because we have that claim of being the only London club to win the European Cup. How would you feel if you're behind Spurs and Chelsea, having never won a European Cup? You'll be the only team not to.
I can't put it into words. I was watching the game yesterday, and I was unfortunately sat with my girlfriend, who's not a big football fan. And when that Lucas Moura goal went in, she rewinded it, so I had to watch it again. I didn't want to watch it the first time.
That is so good.
And honestly, I've never been closer to saying just get out, just leave, make your own way home. You know, it was 10 o'clock at night, and I would have been happy to say that. But Ben, to answer your question, I mean, waking up this morning, I felt nauseous, and that's just at Spurs reaching the final. So I mean, I can't imagine, and I have to support Liverpool, which is not something I usually do, but I will be a Scouser for one night only.
That's the worst of it all. We're Liverpool supporters for June 1st. I never thought I would say that.
Lads. We are Liverpool. This is Love Sport. Every day this week I've said, oh, last night was pretty manic, wasn't it? It was manic once again. You only had to look at Mauricio Pochettino sobbing his heart out on the touchline, on the pitch. I don't know if he's ever cried so many tears as he did last night. It took him a long, long time to compose himself. He looked like that bloke wandering around at a wedding after enjoying a little bit too much of the free bar. You know, looking for someone to chew the ear off. Just wandering around, very happy and kind of without much going on between the ears anymore. Not quite sure what to think, but he definitely wanted to hug someone and tell them that he loved them. That outpouring of emotion for the man who'd spent the last 2 hours just prowling the edge of the technical area, you know, in that all-black suit and tie and shirt combo that makes him look like a caged panther, to all of a sudden be a ball of emotion, just tears streaming down his face. The contrast between those two, between pre-victory Poch and post-victory Poch, was staggering. And who can blame him, really? It was enough to make anyone cry last night, Tottenham fan or otherwise, man, woman, child, alien. It was something to connect with. And I think Pochettino's overwhelming emotion there, apart from happiness, elation, was one of relief. Because as a manager, he is extremely hardworking. We know that. He's also extremely talented. And I think he really gets footballers. He really understands footballers. But what he doesn't have to back all that up is a record of winning trophies as a manager. A Football League final, a Football League Cup final, a few Manager of the Month awards. It's not going to fill a trophy cabinet, is it? So to reach a Champions League final, albeit it's not a trophy either, it's a huge relief for him to go, we are so close now. And if they hadn't beaten Ajax, it would have been a massive missed opportunity, because much as I rate that Dutch side, they're not one of the great Real Madrid or Bayern Munich or Juventus or Barcelona sides. It was an easier semi-final than you would have expected in any other year. So to mess it up would have been historically poor. So part of it was relief, I think, for Pochettino. Because what he's had to battle against is having no money. And he's repeatedly said it. It's like being at the front of the grid, racing in a car that's not as fast as everyone else's. In the top six, the money Tottenham haven't had to spend has left them hamstrung. The last bloke they bought was Lucas Moura. 25 million quid, 31st of January 2018, close to 18 months ago. Now, if you're trying to compete at the very highest level, you need to spend that money. You absolutely have to. Daniel Levy might try and claim that Tottenham reaching the Champions League final is justification for him saying, no, we don't need to buy any more players. Or Mauricio Pochettino might similarly say, look, I didn't want to spend money on mediocre players and it still worked out. But let's not forget that Tottenham needed a late goal to beat PSV in the group stages, a late goal to draw with Barcelona in the group stages and qualify, a late, late, late goal to beat Manchester City, and then, with the very last kick of the game, Lucas Moura's goal last night. Any of those coin flips could have gone the other way and Tottenham would have been out of the Champions League and finishing third or fourth in the Premier League, 25 points behind the top, and you say, what have they achieved? Frankly, very, very little in that case. So if Daniel Levy sits down in performance review or in forward planning meeting and says, but we got to the Champions League final, do we need anyone else? He cannot be lulled into a false sense of security by what Mauricio Pochettino has achieved. Mauricio Pochettino has achieved that despite the strategy coming from upstairs at Tottenham. Not because of it, but despite it. He's made do. Sure, he's convinced the likes of Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen to stay for the moment. Although I think Eriksen will be off this summer. That seems pretty certain. And he's managed to give them enough spirit and belief that they can get through these really tough times. But you won't be able to do that again. He won't be able to get that out of them again. For a start, the well's empty. Look at Dele Alli after the game last night. He could barely move. Couldn't really celebrate. Those kind of things have long-term effects on players. You can be tired for 6 months. That can happen. And remember that the likes of Kane and Ali haven't really had a good extended rest since, what, last, the summer before last? 2 years they've been going. And sure, they'll get some time off this summer. But if they play Nations League, they'll probably get, what, maybe a month? They might get a month off. 4 weeks, and you've still got to train in that time and stay in shape because, frankly, you can't go all the way down. You need to maintain a bit of a fitness level because you haven't got time to get back up. They'll come back into training end of July, and they'll be into Premier League action middle of August, bish, bash, bosh. All of a sudden, they're back into it. So if Daniel Levy and Mauricio Pochettino think they can't invest in the playing squad, they are wrong because this is so thin, and they got so lucky on so many occasions. I'm not trying to take anything away from what Tottenham have achieved, but they can't go on like this. If they want to say, we are a club who belongs here, if they don't want the Champions League final appearance to be a moment when Tottenham fans go, I can't believe we're here, if they want that to be a moment when they say, we belong here, we're a top European side, they've got to spend money this summer. And I'm not talking spending 40 million on one player and then a few bits and pieces. I think they need to send a message to Europe and spend £200 million this summer. They need to go out and buy two or three players who are going to slot straight into the first team, provide some fresh energy, some fresh legs, and crucially, depth. Because there's so many players in that Tottenham squad who are so tired. It's tiring playing for Pochettino. It always has been. But they can't pretend that part of that tiredness hasn't come from the lack of squad depth. Daniel Levy, if you're listening, please give Poch some money. He might be able to achieve something with Tottenham. But if you don't, this will all crumble in months.
This is Love Sport.
Chelsea taking on Eintracht Frankfurt at Stamford Bridge. And Arsenal, who are out in Valencia to play them. They're already 3-1 up, remember. But the Mestalla is a tough old place to go. And let's not put it beyond Arsenal to throw this one away. Stamford Bridge, meanwhile, will host Eintracht Frankfurt. You going, Ben? You actually turning up for once? Oh, the plastic fan gets a ticket. Good for him. Must have got one in the ballot or something. Oh, no. It's harsh, really. He does have a season ticket, apparently. I'm told it's even an adult one these days. Pays full price and everything. Let's look back just briefly at my predictions. As you know, this station forced me to predict every game under the sun. Let's look back at Ajax versus Spurs and what I said about that game. I think Tottenham will have learnt from their mistakes in the first leg. I thought they were outplayed by Ajax, but it's going to be a real uphill task. They didn't get here for nothing, by the way. And I reckon it'll be a draw. A score draw on the night. I do think Tottenham will get a goal, but frankly, I'm not very optimistic that they're going to get the result they need. Of course, Ajax have that away goal, which helps them massively, puts them a little bit further ahead, means Tottenham have to score. So, I think I'm going to go 1-1. Wasn't far away, in some ways. It was very nearly a score draw, confused face Ben. Very nearly a score draw. I mean, that didn't even go through my head when, honestly, you know, when Spurs scored that last goal, I wasn't sitting there thinking, damn, my prediction was wrong. I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, what is life? What is football? Let's move on to tonight, shall we? I, of course, have to try and pick two results tonight with a couple of Europa League ties. Let's start off with the one at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea versus Frankfurt. This is really hard because Chelsea, of course, did get a 1-1 win away in Eintracht Frankfurt. And once they got going, I thought they played quite well. Maybe with a better side second half. I don't think that's unfair. But Frankfurt were smashed at the weekend by Bayer Leverkusen. 6-1 defeat it was. I know it wasn't their full team. I think that might create a little bit of a false sense of security for Chelsea. But I think they will scrap their way through. I think it might be a 1-0 win for the Blues at Stamford Bridge to make it through to a Champions League final. It's not going to be pretty. I think there will be fluid moments because actually what you've seen from Chelsea lately is the fact they're starting to be fluent with the ball. Remember that Sarri ball is all about quick moving of the ball when you have to. When you draw the team out, when you get them to start pressing the ball, then you have to move it. Bang, bang, bang. And I think you've started to see that from Chelsea. So I'm going to go for a 1-0 win with fits and starts of fluency. Let's move on to Valencia versus Arsenal. Really tricky because Arsenal are so poor away from home. 3-1 win back at the Emirates. I don't know if it's surprising them. They did have to come from behind and they were quite poor in the beginning of that game. That will give Valencia a lot of hope, I think. And I think they might believe that Arsenal are there to be shot at. They're not wrong. Arsenal are dreadful away from home, so why wouldn't you think that actually, yeah, they can get after them a little bit? The atmosphere at the Mestalla is likely to be extremely loud, probably quite intimidating. I think Arsenal will lose on the night, but I think they will go through. I think it'll be 2-1 Valencia, and Arsenal will just about cling on. That'll only happen, though. There's no way Arsenal are going to score a late goal here to go through. There's no way it'll be 2-0 Valencia, and, you know, they'll be going through on away goals, and Arsenal are going to nick it at the death. I think it needs an early goal for Arsenal to try and hang on to something, because that's how poor they've been away from home. Chelsea, meanwhile, could face them in the final. If they both go through, we'll have an all-English Champions League final and an all-English Europa League final. It would be unprecedented and pretty remarkable. It means that, in theory, Petr Cech could play his last game for Arsenal against Chelsea, but he says he's not even thinking about it.
I think that even if you play regularly, the key always lies in training. So if you train well, you prepare. And with all my experience I have, you know, I don't see a big difference for me. You know, I feel ready every game.
I'm sure he sees a big difference between, you know, how he was when he was 26 as opposed to 36. I think the decline of Petr Cech has been pretty bad, actually. I think he's gone on a year too long, if you're going to be empirical about it. He, of course, will play for Arsenal tonight. He'll be given the chance to do that because he has been playing in the Europa League. I don't think it's great to give him that sort of sympathy pick. I think he's a worse goalkeeper than Bernd Leno. I think you're damaging your chances by picking him over Bernd Leno. But a legend of the game. A guy who's been there, done that. He's won it all. They sang it about Gary Cahill. It's true of Petr Cech as well. He really has won it all. A brilliant player. 4-time Premier League winner. 4-time FA Cup winner. 3-time League Cup. And a Champions League. And a Europa League. And 2 Charity Shields to boot. Yeah, he really has won it all. You've been listening to the James Gray Show podcast edition. Please do leave us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, you can listen to the show live on Love Sport Radio every weekday from 1 p.m. until 3:30.